Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 8 February, 2026, Romans.
All right, as we come to part two, few moments of silent prayer. Now, some of you might not have been assembling here consistently, faithfully. You might wonder, why do we start out in class, few moments of silent prayer? Well, I know we had the first class and you were all in fellowship and ready to go. And then we had a break and you went out and you managed to commit about 500 sins while you were out there on the break. This gives you the opportunity, and we come back, to acknowledge those sins to God, get back into fellowship with God, filling of the Spirit, spiritual life, so you can benefit from the second class. That's why we have that silent prayer. It's not just to get it quiet. It'll give you a chance for rebound if necessary and to otherwise prepare yourself to worship our Lord. Shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. As we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8:33-34. So far we have, who will bring a charge against, who will judge the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Verse 34. Who is the one who katakrinos, who condemns us, fellow believers? And then we go on in our study. Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. That's the King James. Now, in the King James Version, we have Christ. However, in the original autographs, we have Christos Jesus, Christ Jesus. So, we have the nominative singular of Christos plus the nominative singular of Jesus, plus the articular aorist active participle of apophnesko, plus the adverb malon with the conjunction de, plus the aorist passive participle of egeiro. So, the subject of this clause is Christos Jesu, Christ Jesus. All right? That's the subject. Christ Jesus. And then we have the verb apothnesko. Looks like that in the Greek, that's A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O, apothnesko. All right, a couple of things on this word. First of all, literally, it means to die. It refers to physical death or natural death. That's its literal meaning. Figuratively, it's used in the Word of God for spiritual death. And that's how it's used here in our verse. It's used for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It refers specifically to those 3 hours when Christ was on the cross from 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's what apothenesco is putting the spotlight on. It's referring to that time when God the Father gathered up the personal sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ, and then he judged the world's sins in Christ once and for all. That's how apothenesco is used here, figuratively, the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. So, point three, this is an articular participle, and once again, it is substantival, it functions as a noun, and it should be translated, the one who died. The one who died is the Lord Jesus Christ, his spiritual death on the cross. And then point four, since Christ was the one condemned for our sins, since Christ was the one condemned for our sins, no one else has the right to condemn us. Since Christ was the one condemned for our sins, no one else has the right to catakrino us, to condemn us. Five. Personal sin is not the issue in salvation. Personal sin is not the issue in salvation. Why? Because Christ Jesus, Christos Jesus, Christ Jesus, paid the penalty for all of our sins on the cross. Personal sin is not the issue in salvation because Christ Jesus paid the penalty for all of our sins on the cross. Six. Therefore, the only issue for eternal salvation is what think ye of Christ. John 3:16. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now notice, it doesn't say whosoever believes in him and does some good works. Whosoever believes in him and is baptized. That's not in there. It's whosoever believes in him, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, shall not perish, but have eternal life. What's the condition? Just one. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son, not believe and do this, not believe and do that, or do a lot, or whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So there's only one issue for eternal salvation. What think ye of Christ? Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Seven. Therefore, when you make an issue out of someone else's personal sins, therefore, when you make an issue out of someone else's personal sin, you are in a state of blasphemy as well as being guilty of the worst of all personal sins, sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning, malicious gossiping. In God's eyes, those are an abomination to the Lord. Those are the sins that God hates. They're an abomination to Him. So therefore, when you make an issue out of someone else's personal sins, you are in a state of blasphemy as well as guilty of the worst personal sins of all. Sins of the tongue, of judging, slandering, maligning, malicious gossiping. Those sins are an abomination to the Lord. The Lord hates those sins. 8. This condemnation, katakrinoing, pronouncing that some believer is not saved, and I can't tell you how many times legalistic believers have said this to other believers. You're not even saved. You can't be saved and commit sins like that. This condemnation of pronouncing that some believer is not saved because of some specific sin is an attack on God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace. This condemnation of pronouncing that some believer is not saved, not even saved, because of some specific sin, or maybe you are aware he's committing lots of sins. Ooh. That's an attack on God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace. 9. This implies that the work of Christ on the cross was not enough. Was not efficacious. This implies that the work of Christ on the cross was not enough, was not efficacious. Of course, the legalists always think that it was enough for his sins, it just wasn't enough for your sins. 10. However, our salvation does not depend on human opinion. Our salvation does not depend on human opinion. It depends upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ being judged for our sins on the cross. However, our salvation does not depend on human opinion. It depends upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ being judged for our sins on the cross. 11. Since all personal sins in human history were judged at the cross, since all personal sins in human history were judged at the cross, there is no sin a believer can commit that cancels his salvation. Since all personal sins in human history were judged at the cross, there is no sin a believer can commit that cancels his salvation. Twelve. To imply or to state that a believer can lose his salvation because of some personal sin, to imply or to state that a believer can lose his salvation because of some personal sin, that is the quintessence of legalistic arrogance. The quintessence of legalistic arrogance. And there are a lot of very self-righteous people out there who they're trusting in their own. They think they're a very good person. And they look at this person says he has believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. He's believed in Christ as his Savior because Christ on the cross paid the penalty for all of his sins. And they look at that person, they go, oh, and that, I don't know if I would believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, because I see these people who say they believed in Christ as their Savior, and then they are doing these sins, and I think that's crazy. That's, you can't be saved and do those things. I'm being good and doing good works. Really, what are you doing? You're trusting in your self-righteous, human, good, dead works to save you. They'll never, ever save you. There isn't enough work you can do to save you. Christ did all the work on the cross. You're placing your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross for your Savior. He's your Savior. He paid the penalty for your sins. Those you commit prior to salvation and all the sins you commit after salvation, they were all poured out on Christ and judged on the cross. And therefore, the only issue for salvation is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The only issue for sin after salvation, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. Now, get up and get going. Get up and start living the spiritual life and let's move out. God's got a fantastic plan for you. Let's start running that spiritual life and hit the finish line as a winner believer. So since all personal sins in human history were judged at the cross, there is no sin a believer can commit that cancels his salvation. 12, to imply or state that a believer can lose his salvation because of some personal sin is the quintessence of legalistic arrogance. Arrogance because you set yourself up as a judge. That's total self-righteousness. Legalism, because you are depending upon your human good works for gaining salvation and getting into heaven. Now, we studied the fact that in our Christmas special, Jesus Christ is the eternal Father. He is the God of compassion and grace. And that we went through several illustrations of Jesus Christ as the eternal Father, a God of compassion and grace. And we saw who did he spend and time with at meals, dinners? Prostitutes, tax collectors. Prostitutes and tax collectors. Now the self-righteous person would say, you can't be a Christian and have been a prostitute or be a tax collector. You can't. But here are these prostitutes and tax collectors. They come to him, flood to him. Why? Because they know he is the only Savior. They know that He's going to a cross and going to pay the penalty for all of their sin. And they place their faith in Jesus Christ for that. The prostitute that came to the tax collector's house, and she came up to Jesus and washed His feet with her tears and her hair. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She knew, yes, she was a prostitute in the past. She knows that. She knows she had committed multitude of sins and sins and sins. The Pharisees would say, what is this guy doing? Eating with prostitutes and tax collectors. That was the Pharisees. They thought they were saved. They thought they were going to heaven. They weren't even saved. They had not even believed in Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ. They said He wasn't the Messiah. They did not believe in Him. And then they condemned Jesus Christ, and they condemned all these people, prostitutes, tax collectors, who had placed their faith in Christ. And through simple faith in Jesus Christ, they had eternal salvation, because Christ paid the penalty for all of their sins, once and for all. We went through that in the Christmas special, on the characteristic of Jesus Christ as the eternal Father. And you know, in homiletics class, we had to all present a sermon. And it was my turn to present a sermon. I got up there and I taught about these passages. And I said, here are all these self-righteous people, all these Pharisees. They thought they were so good. They thought they were going to go to heaven. And here are prostitutes and tax collectors, the worst of the worst. And they place their faith in Jesus Christ and have eternal salvation. And when I got done, the teacher says, I know that's what it says. I know that's what the Bible says there, but I'm not sure if I believe it. I said, well, how did you get to be a professor at a Dallas Theological Seminary? I didn't say that. I thought it, but I didn't say it. So arrogance, because you set yourself up as a judge, and legalism, because you are depending on your own self-righteous, human good, dead works for gaining salvation and keeping it. The plan of God, Operation Grace, is greater than the worst sin ever committed by a believer. 13. The sins of the believer are subject to divine discipline. The sins of the believer are subject to divine discipline. But this does not include losing your salvation. The sins of the believer are subject to divine discipline, but this does not include losing your salvation. That's impossible. You can never lose your salvation. 14. The salvation work of Christ on the cross is greater than any sin which the carnal reversionistic believer is capable of performing. The salvation work of Christ on the cross is greater than any sin which the carnal reversionistic believer is capable up before me. So we have corrected translation. Who is the one who catakrinos, who condemns fellow believers? Christ Jesus is the one who died. His salvation work on the cross, Operation Grace. And then we have the comparative form of the adverb mala. So we have the adverb mala, but the comparative form is malon. M-A-L-L-O-N, malon. The comparative form is malon. And when you combine the comparative malon with the conjunction de, then it may be correctly translated, but rather, or rather, yes rather. See, the King James had yea rather. And then we have the verb egero. E-G-E-I-R, long O. Egero. All right. This is a very wonderful, fantastic verb. First of all, one, this is the main verb for the doctrine of resurrection. This is the main verb for the doctrine of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two, it means to rise, to be raised, to be resurrected. To rise, to be raised, to be resurrected. Three, both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were the agents for the resurrection of Christ. Both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were the agents for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point four, God the Father as the agent for the resurrection of Christ is found in, and we'll look at these passages, turn over to Colossians 2:12. God the Father, as the agent for the resurrection of Christ, is found in Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12. Now we have here in Colossians 2:12 the baptism of the Spirit, which occurs at the moment you believe in Christ, the moment of your salvation, there's the baptism. Yes, you all have been baptized. At the moment you believe in Christ, we've all been baptized. The baptism of the Spirit. That's the baptism that you have to have. And how do you have that baptism? By simply believing in Jesus Christ. When you believe in Christ, you're baptized. You're entered into union with Jesus Christ. You are identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what we have here. Having been buried with Him, that's identification with Christ in His death and burial. Retroactive positional truth. In baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, in which you were also raised with Him. Current positional truth. Now you're in union with Christ at the right hand of the Father. And raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. There's God the Father as the agent for resurrection. And then turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He, God the Father, raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So God the Father is the agent of the resurrection of Christ, Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, point 5. God the Holy Spirit is the agent for the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans 1:4. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of holiness is God the Holy Spirit, was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then look over Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, God the Holy Spirit is the agent of the resurrection of Christ, and if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. And then turn over to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, as the agent in His resurrection. So, we have Agero. God the Father is the agent for the resurrection of Christ Jesus, Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. God the Holy Spirit is the agent for the resurrection of Christ, Romans 1:4, Romans 8:11, 1 Peter 3:18. 6, the fact that Christ is resurrected means He will evaluate and judge all believers at the judgment seat of Christ. The fact that Christ is resurrected means He will evaluate and judge all believers at the judgment seat of Christ. And 7, therefore we have absolutely no right to condemn others, judge others, malign, slander fellow believers. Therefore, we have absolutely no right to condemn fellow believers, judge, malign, slander fellow believers. And I want you to turn to one more passage and we'll stop with that this morning. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother, your fellow believer? Or you again, why do you regard your fellow believer with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now look at verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a fellow believer's way. We'll all be evaluated by Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. All right. Well, this last Romans chapter 8, from 8:28 to verse 39, is absolutely the most powerful passage. There's so much here. And it just gets better and better. And I'm going to miss when we finish Romans chapter 8, because then we go into a kind of a parenthesis for the next three chapters, chapter 9, 10, and 11. And we'll start that when we finish this, but I'm going to really miss when we finish Romans 8. All right? With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we had this morning to fellowship with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.